lawyer who was a Pharisee once asked Jesus, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Well, he was doing this seeking to trick him. But Jesus answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Matthew 22:35-38. To the children of Israel, who had had their share of difficulty for 40 years on the road to the land of Canaan, they were finally in the land, and Joshua, realizing the temptations that lay ahead, and the adultery that was rampant in the land, the sin that was rampant in the land. And as their leader, he said in Joshua 24:15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Elijah faced God's people at a time when they were on the fence. It was at the time of the notorious Ahab and Jezebel. He was on Mount Carmel. Many challenges were there that day, but Elijah asked this question and he issued a challenge. "How long halt ye between two opinions?" The children of God were kind of wishy-washy. Oh, they would worship God one day or for a few days or for a few weeks or a few months. And then they would look at the other things around them and then they would head in that direction and gain other interests. How long will you halt between two opinions? Why are you straddling this fence? It's uncomfortable. I've straddled a few fences in my time. It is uncomfortable. Then he followed with a challenge. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, if this God of the many nations around you, if he be God, then follow him. Make up your mind. Choose you this day, as Joshua said. Summary of these thoughts, the greatest commandment is to love God. Greatest commandment is to love God. Greatest choice is to serve God, and the greatest decision is to follow God. To follow God. We want to look this morning at one of the writings of a follower of God. David, shepherd boy, Old Testament, king, psalmist, man after God's own heart, sinner before God at many times in his life, repentant of those sins. As we've been singing, one of our purposes here and our primary purpose here is to praise God. Give God the glory. We do that in our singing. We do that in our prayers. We do that as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Thank you, God, for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life on the cross. And we'll remember you. Till you come again. And the way we do that is not just up here in our mind. We will talk to others. We will let others know. And thus they will know that we remember you. Till you come again. The psalmist wrote a number of writings. And they are numbered for us in the area called the Psalms. And today I want to call your attention to one of those. Psalm 139. Turn your Bibles to it. If you don't have your Bible, start bringing your Bible. We are Bible students. We are studiers of God's Word, the Bible. Those who do not study God's words over a period of time will soon desert God's words. because you will not know what they are. We have some today, we have many today, more than not, who are following man's way because they don't know God's way. We will not know God's way listening to Jim Lanius all the time and not studying God's Word and following Jim Lanius or whoever is speaking to see if God said that. Bring your Bibles. I know we don't have a lot of young people in here, but I told our class this morning, I was reading an article, and this lady was encouraging those teachers of children to always put the Bible before them. And as they came into the house of worship, to encourage those children by letting them see that you had the Bible open when the preacher was talking or when a teacher was talking so you could follow along. Maybe you need a enlarged print or something. Need to get one of those. They have them available. There's no excuse. That's what my mama used to say. There's no excuse for not taking your Bible, Jimmy. That's what she called me. I don't like Jimmy now, but what she called me. No excuse for not taking your Bible. Well, I'll leave it in the car. Well, you can't study your lesson, Jimmy. You need to bring it back in the house. Don't leave it in the car. You ever leave a car back when they had that back place back there and put your Bible up there because there's too many kids in the back seat? Oh, it'd curl the Bible up pretty, won't it? It'd curl it up good. Curl up that cover if it's not, you know, we didn't buy leather, you know. We bought whatever that cover was. It curled up nicely. Mama didn't like it. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love. We praise Thee. The psalmist David, in his writings, reveals much to us of his view of God. We need to have God in sight. We need to know who God is. And one of the best ways to know who God is to read one who knew who God was and God is. Oh, and he stood in awe as he thought about it. He meditated upon God's word. He was thus a scholar of whatever word, God's word he had available to him. Probably the first five books of the New Testament. The law, anyway. He meditated upon it. He did some cogitating, as old fellows used to say. He did some thinking on it. You like to be around people who have thought on God's Word, who've done some thinking on it. Let's look at the first six verses of chapter 139, Psalm 139. Turn your Bibles to that chapter. We'll be using a few verses toward the end, and you'll need to have your Bible open. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassed my path. You kind of go around me. You compassed my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and lay thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Some refer to this section as speaking about the omniscience of God, the knowledge. I call it the all-knowing God. The all-knowing God. There's something going on in your life that you'd rather not folks know about. God knows about it. God knows about it. He knows all men. He knows all of our thinking. He knew what David was up to from time to time, even when he was looking across at that beautiful lady on that adjoining building. He knew what was in David's heart. He knew that David was going to take advantage of that woman, and then he was going to do something to her husband to kind of cover it up. Be sure your sins will find you out. David could attest to that. He doesn't write only for himself, though. These thoughts were preserved for us as the Holy Spirit guides him. The word that searched me. Thou hast searched me. Sir, it's not just looking at, you know, people look at us, but they don't search us. We go out to the airport, we may feel like we've been frisked. Now, the police will frisk you, they'll search you, but they don't really search you, you know? They do have a machine that can search you to some extent. But that means to not be just looked at on the surface, but there's a penetrating look. There's a penetrating look below the surface as if you were transparent. God knows all of us thoroughly. Verse 2 says, thou knowest when I sit down. You know what I'm doing when I'm resting. You know what I'm doing when I'm up around being busy. You know what I'm thinking by the time that thought develops. Verse 4 and 5 says, there's not a word in my tongue that you don't know it all together. Got some words you'd like to not say? Know that you shouldn't say, gossip that you got going on that you know, well, I shouldn't have said that. God knows it, and God knows you shouldn't have said that, and God knows your motive, and God knows whether you think you shouldn't have said it or you're just kind of happy with what you said. Thou set me behind and before. God's all around, and you laid your hand on. David has to say, you know, it's so beyond me. It's so wonderful that you have that knowledge. But, you know, he wasn't feeling bad. Boy, I hate it that you're able to do that. Oh, man, I'm in a mess. I'm in trouble. He didn't say that. Evidently, this was a time when his heart was right with God. His heart was right with God. Acquainted with all our ways. You know, some people are, you know, they got, that's just the way they are, you know. Or you say, well, they know how I am. Well, some folks know some of your ways, don't they? God knows all of your ways. He knows everything we do, everything. Some people know some of it. God knows all of it. How should this affect me? How should this affect me with this knowledge? Well, how did it affect David? David said, you know, it's just, I stand in awe. I am humbled, God. In lieu, in face when I'm faced with the knowledge that you have. I am humbled. We too should be humble. He said, it's too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't ever even aspire to know that and to do that. And it should serve to restrain us from evil, from doing those things that we know we ought not do. It's a warning. There's no secrecy with God. God wouldn't do very well in the CIA, would he? He knows everything. Well, he probably would do pretty good. He just wouldn't reveal all the things he knows about all the people. God's knowledge, all-knowing. Verses 7 through 12. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, or in the grave, or the place of the dead, rather, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. So David answers the question, is God limited by space? No. Seems like every time man goes up in space and we think we have conquered something, there's somebody with a telescope that's discovered something else that they see out there in space. And God's universe just keeps going on and on. God says, I created that. Have a go at it. Have a go at it. God limits my space. David says, no. Can I go anywhere? David is thinking to get away from God. Apparently not. Doesn't matter where he goes. He can hide in a cave and get away from Saul. He can go to another part of the country and get away from whomever's after him to kill him. I'll fly away. He said, even if I could fly, even if I could go off into the deepest part of the sea, God created it all and he knows where I'm at. He's there. He's there before I get there and he welcomes me. He says, think again. God upholds all and is everywhere. Verse 10. Verse 11. David says, I'll wait till it's good and dark. I'll wait till it's dark. You know, even the crooks today don't wait till it's dark. They do everything out in the broad day. But to God, he, if you say I do it in the dark, then David rises to the conclusion. There's no difference to God. God has infrared vision. He can see like Superman, you know. Better than Superman. Kryptonite could stop him. Back in the army, they talked to us about having visual purple at night, getting used to the night so you could see and your eyes would adjust. And David remembers, he says, you know, remember when all was darkness? And I guess he would think back. I thought back. And God said, let there be light. For whose purpose was that light? So God could see? No. He wanted you and me to be able to see. The light wasn't for him to see. He could see in the dark. Darkness was all right with God as far as darkness and light has been used to distinguish goodness, good from bad, good from evil. Verses 13 through 18. For thou hast possessed my reins, or formed my inward parts, I think the New American Standard says. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. God created us, and he created the way that we are created. We are recreated. I will praise thee. We praise thee, O God, our lesson title. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right away, right well. My substance, my strength, my body was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Curiously wrought in the Lord's part of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in the book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned. When, as yet, there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. See, he does a lot of thinking, doesn't he? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. It doesn't matter, he says. Asleep or awake, you haven't gone anywhere. I'm in your presence. We're in his presence this morning. The knowledge of God, the presence of God, and now we see the power of God. God created man in his own image, Genesis 1:27. According to God's design, so God knows. God knew him in his mother's womb. Good thing she didn't have him aborted, right? Something to think about. made according to God's design. God knew of David's existence prior to his birth. And he concludes that man is a wonderful creation of God, made in God's image. When we look at the physical body, those probably who studied biology, a nurse or someone in that regard, or can remember from your high school, college days or whatever, it's amazing how the Bible works, how the body works. Go into a doctor's office and look up on the wall behind his door sometime. He'll have all these pictures that you'd rather not see sometimes. But it shows how intricately, whatever that word is, how well the body works. God can't even pronounce that word. How the body works and how there are so many parts. There's so many parts. We can only get a 10-year guarantee at best on a Hyundai. And 100,000 miles. Aren't you glad for the most part we got a better guarantee than that? God created us. Chrysler didn't. Ford didn't. General Motors didn't. Oh, some parts wear out now and then, don't they, as they get older? Some of them start squeaking if we don't oil them, don't they? Our intellect. Man has lots of power, but when compared to God's, we've got to be humbled, haven't we, with the knowledge of God. But there are a whole lot of thinkers and there are a whole lot of inventions, a whole lot of things have been come up with, a lot of medical technology. There's a lot out there in the future, and we hope in the next month or two they come up something for swine flu, don't we? They got some dire predictions on some of that stuff. And we hope man is able to use his mind, his intellect, for that good. The soul of mankind, how much we differ from the dog and the cat and the other animals. Yet sometimes we bring those animals, I know we love our animals, but we bring them to a higher level than other people. The soul, man has a soul. Therefore, praise God, says David, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How should this affect us? Well, our response should be as David's was. We need to be thankful. We need to have gratitude for God. We need to look around us and see the creation of God and be amazed as we stand in his presence. Man comes up with all kind of designs. And there, somebody is going to create a man out of these embryos, or lately they're starting creating life out of skin. Out of your skin. I don't have any problem with that. If they want to take a little bit of my skin, I got several levels. Take a little bit of my skin, do something with it, and then if I have trouble with my nose, I need a new nose, you know, they give me one or help me out or ear or whatever. That's not going to happen anytime soon. God who created us, also we should be affected by this. God who created us is still in control. He didn't just make us. God didn't just make David and say, David, you're on your own, boy. David says, it doesn't matter where I go. I see you're there. I know you're there. There's no place that I can go. Maybe I want to go get me a few beers tonight. God's going to be with you, boy, girl, woman, man. God will be with you. Not in the sense that God be with you till we meet again, but God will be with you. He will know it. He knows you're thinking about what you're thinking about now. Thinking about the lesson or his word here, maybe not what I'm saying, or you're thinking about the clock and thinking about what time lunch is going to be. You know, is everybody going to be through anytime soon? We're studying God's word. That way, if you got your Bible open, sometimes I have my Bible open when I'm listening to people preach, and I'm going through and I'm coming up with a different thought, what that preacher coming up with, using the same scripture. And I get help from that. We have heroes today, don't we? Somebody said my hero's always been cowboys. Well, cowboys will let you down. Cowboys will let you down. Cowgirls will let you down. People will let you down. Your heroes will do dumb things, will do stupid things. No man-made hero is our God. People look up to these CEOs. My, wouldn't it be nice to be the head of American General? You know, I might have thought when I was there. Wouldn't it be nice to be at the head of AIG? And I wouldn't have to be putting on the grind and doing the grind like I'm doing. But be ye thankful, praise the Lord, David says. And then he has a prayer for God. The last part of our lesson. Verse 19 through 24. Let's read along. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. David had a lot of problems with the people around because he figures they're God's enemies here. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Oh, it aggravated him. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. It's not an imperfect hatred, he says. Boy, I really hate them. I count them mine enemies. Now at the end, he comes up with a prayer that some have referred to as the prayer of a true servant of God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As David thinks of the greatness of God, his knowledge, his being ever-present, his being all-powerful, he just cannot tolerate those who would stand against his God. And there were many, many who professed to follow God, who said they were children of God in David's day, who nevertheless would stand, deny, blaspheme, disobey, and grieve God. David says, I hate it. His hatred of wickedness leads him to ask God to destroy them. Destroy them, God. Overthrow them. He says, slay the wicked. Have them depart from me. Why? Because they speak against God and they speak God's name in vain. David said, let's just get rid of them now. They're no good. Well, God didn't work on David's timetable. In due time, they'll be taken care of. But David was saying to God, God, your enemies are my enemies. Now, in these last few verses, I wonder if we would say this to God. Search me, God. I don't have anything to hide. He doesn't have to ask God to search him. He's already noted that in verse 1. Thou hast searched me. But he's showing his willingness to allow God to look at his life, to look intently, to look penetratingly, to look beyond the surface, to look beyond the suit coat or the nice dress. All is open to you, God. I have no secrets. If evil thinking is in my heart, in my thoughts, lead me to holy thinking. Lead me to holy doing. Thou who knowest all things and who is ever present and who is all-knowing, who's everywhere, thou art creator of all the universe. If you have your Bibles open, I want you to read with me out loud these last two verses of Psalm 139. I'll read them. Don't read with me this right now, but I'm going to read it like this. Search me, O God. And then we'll pause a minute. So let's start. Let's read that together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Those words of David give us something to think about, don't they? They give us something to think about. We were studying recently, I think it's in the book of 2 Corinthians, where Paul said to the church at Corinth to examine themselves and prove all things to see if they were still of the faith. Well, here, the psalmist is asking God to look into his heart. God is looking into our hearts anyway, but he shows his willingness to allow God within his heart. This morning we sang a song of invitation to any who's outside of Christ, who wants to become a Christian. Why not come to Christ today, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God? If you're willing to repent of your sins, have those sins washed away in baptism, Romans 6:3-5. Then to rise from baptism as Jesus was raised from the dead, to walk in newness of life. As a Christian, as you fall away, if you've fallen away from God and are unprepared to meet God, why not get prepared this morning and come back to God today? If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, what better time to do it than today? We have no promise of tomorrow. Shall we stand and sing?